Listen to every episode of Stokely and Zach on demand at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank and the 20K Good Business Giveaway. Submit a video explaining how your business does good by October 24th for a chance to win $20,000. Rules and restrictions apply. Member FDIC. Visit efirstbank.com/business contest. It's Stokely and Zach on Sports Radio 1043 The Fan.
Four out of five?
Oh, man.
I mean, we're setting the standard around here. I mean, it's almost becoming just not even fun anymore.
We have to make, like, new challenges for ourselves. Like,
I mean, we're the reigning champions. Should we just bow out and just say, y'all just have fun with it? Or, you know, what do you do at this time when you just continue to dominate?
You know what this feels like? This feels like the Warriors, like, setting a challenge for themselves. Like, yeah, let's go break the 72-win mark. Like, we know we're going to go win the title. Like, we just won the title.
Yeah, and then the next year, you set another goal. Let's try to accomplish this. You know, let's do this. Let's make it fun. Let's shoot, you know, three-pointers every time we get the ball. So, I don't know. Maybe we pick all home teams or something and just give somebody, you know, somebody else a chance to enjoy the King Soopers feast that we've been enjoying so much. I wonder why I'm putting on so much weight here lately.
That's the reason.
It's all the great food. I hope we get that chicken parm again.
We have one pick'em again.
And that pound cake. Ooh, I hope we get that same. Can we put in a request?
If you're looking for humility today from us,
that's not happening.
You came to the wrong spot.
Forget the humility. You know what? It's awful weather outside. It's freezing cold. I hadn't seen the sun in a couple days. Super duper bad, Dana White. That's right. That's how bad it was. But you look at what happened on Sunday. Broncos lose. Rockies lose. Right? The weather's awful. But you know what? We win the King Supers pick 'em again. So I'm going to brag and have some fun today. Why not?
Just to recap, we won the whole thing in 2017. We won week one. We won week three. We won week four. And now we've won week five. We're supposed to be competing against guys who know football. Alfred Williams, our personal ATM. His partner, Darren McKee. Orlando Franklin. Sandy Clough. Cecil Lammy.
You got Mike Big Pritchard. Al again this week.
I did.
I didn't get him. I tied with him.
I got him. I'll see you later today, big fella. Come find me.
Still question about that line yap on the extra end of last week. Yeah. So, you know, hopefully he mans up and pays that.
Big Al breaking the rules that he made.
Yeah.
What the hell?
It's all right. He'll get a knock at the door later tonight.
Yeah, he'll pay. He'll pay.
Jimmy Bones.
It feels good, though. It feels good. You know what doesn't feel good? If we want to come back to reality here a little bit.
Yep.
Bronco Nation.
Bradley Roby not showing up to work yesterday. That to me, you know, as a, obviously a former player, on Monday, you know, I've been sick before, but I've never not shown up or shown up, you know, really, really late without communicating. So, to me, that is very, very concerning. When I saw the report from Mike Kliss that, you know, he wasn't there, he wasn't present for meetings, and Kliss says he does appear he should have communicated better with his coaches. Like, I don't understand that at all. I can't even fathom that. Like, if you're not feeling good, you go to work, you go to the training room. You know, they'll give you some medicine, they'll put you on a prescription, whatever. And if you're really, really bad, they'll send your tail home, and then they'll communicate everything with your coaches. Maybe you text your DB coach and your defensive coordinator and call your head coach or whatever. Or, you know, that message usually gets passed on from the training room very, very quickly and easily. It's not that difficult. Like, hey, Bradley came in today, he's very sick, we had to send him home, we don't want to get anybody else sick. That's the protocol. Right? So there is no really gray area there. But the fact that you He saw trainers late in the day? Like, what is that about? Like, what time did you wake up? Why didn't you see them when you woke up? Why weren't you there on time? It's very, very concerning to me when you're on a three-game losing streak, you have an awful game, and then you just show up late in the day. And obviously, you know, red flags come up as, are you really sick?
When you don't communicate, in my opinion, you lose the benefit of the doubt. It's 2018. It takes 10 seconds, literally, and a couple movement of your opposable thumbs to send a text message that you are dog sick. Even if you couldn't make it in, the lack of communication is inexcusable for a grown man to pull a no-show to work. To me, I have absolutely no patience for stuff like this. If you're sick, say you're sick. But the fact that there's conflicting reports would lead to the idea that if there's not clarity, then that means there was no communication. This, to me, Bradley Roby pulling a no-show is a microcosm of what we were talking about yesterday with some of the quotes. Chris Harris, we got to find out who wants to be here and who doesn't want to be here. Derek Wolfe saying there's something deeper going on here. And now you got a guy who your coach says has number one corner potential, doesn't show up to work and doesn't communicate the day after getting cooked. I mean, to me, Stoke, this is, I don't like it. It's not good. I just don't know what you can do. Like, if you're Vance Joseph, first of all, this is just another reminder of how this is feeling like 2017. Like, this move right here, this feels like 2017.
Yep.
And the one thing that I was very critical, not the one thing, one of many things that I was very critical of Vance Joseph last year, was that he was billed as this leader of men, yet it was an undisciplined team on the football field, one of the most penalized teams in football, but also it didn't seem like he had any control. He didn't seem like he had any control. So what do you do? Does this go unpunished because you need Bradley Roby to play at a high level if that secondary is going to have some semblance of success? But at the same time, you can't have guys just not showing up without consequence.
Absolutely. I mean, look, in a situation like this, it's pretty clear cut, you know, if you're not feeling good. Like you said, the protocol, what you do when you wake up, obviously, you know you're supposed to be there at a certain time. You communicate with the trainers, and if you're so bad to where you can't go into work, they'll send somebody out to you, and they'll bring you medicine, and they'll communicate that with the coaches. But to just show up late and say, oh, I'm sick, I'm not feeling good, and you miss meetings or late to meetings or whatever happened there, and the fact that it said, you know, Kliss, who's very connected, but, you know, it does appear he should have communicated better with his coaches. I mean, that tells me that...
That's the nice way of saying he didn't communicate with coaches.
He didn't communicate with anybody. And he communicated very, very late with the trainers. And do they actually believe that he was sick or is sick? So it's pretty clear cut. You know, you just blew it off and you were late. Because, you know, there's a way of handling your business when you're sick. And it's not that difficult. They'll send you home. They'll take care of you.
They don't want you to get everyone else sick.
If you're sick
on a Monday, it's really not that big of a deal, to be totally honest. Now, obviously, if it's something like legitimate, the flu, strep throat, whatever, but it's really not that big of a deal if he communicates. If he communicates, we never even hear about this, by the way. We never even hear about this. Tuesday's a day off. This story doesn't even come out if he communicates.
It's a non-issue. He communicated with us. We knew why he wasn't here. We had to send him home because he was sick. End of story. That's it.
You and I were talking about something yesterday, using it as an example of when things really go badly for a team, not realizing while we were actually talking about it, it was likely it was taking place at Dove Valley. Wait until you hear this. It's next.
Does your business make a positive impact on its community, customers, or employees? First Bank invites you to submit a 2-minute video explaining how you and your business do good for a chance to win $20,000 in a marketing campaign courtesy of First Bank. Doing good can be donating proceeds to charity, being environmentally sustainable, providing gym memberships for your employees, and so much more. If this describes your business, submit your video by October 24th. First Bank. Business banking for good. Rules and restrictions apply. Member FDIC. Visit efirstbank.com/business contest for more details.
Stoke, you and I were having a conversation yesterday when we were talking about when things go badly for a team. And we said, hey, you know when you get that players-only meeting, that you know you're in trouble. And
it's usually not going good when you have those.
No, no. And you and I were just using it as a point of reference to just sort of, you know, paint a picture of where the Broncos were at. Little did we know, probably right around the time that we were having that conversation, there was a players-only meeting over there at Dove Valley. And we found this out. Or I kind of found it out last night when Brandon Marshall said to Michael Spencer on CBS 4 that this had happened. And I just so happened to be at the View House in Centennial meeting a buddy for a pop. And I saw Michael and I said, Mike, you could come over, have a beer with us. And you know him.
Yeah.
And he is, by all accounts, a great guy and does a great job for CBS 4. And he sat down with us and had a pop and told me that. And I'm like, wait, what? Players only meeting after week 5. What do you make of this?
Well, the Jets had a players only meeting before last game. And they came out and
that's true.
And stomped on the Broncos. So, you know, I don't know. Could you get some stuff accomplished in a players-only meeting? Look, maybe you can, maybe you can't. It all depends on how you go out and play. Look, if you go out and play and you win a football game like the Jets did, then it's, oh, man, that really worked. If you go out there and you continue to play the way that you played, then it's like nothing came out of it, right? I've been a part of one that I can think of that tells you how important, you know, I felt it was. And did it work? No, it didn't work.
Where were you?
Right here in Denver, Josh McDaniels' first year. You know, we started 6-0. We had a big slide. Players only meeting. I don't really remember a whole lot from it, but it didn't work.
How does this happen? Is it like one of the captains of the team?
Yeah. Guys just, hey, we're meeting. We're going to have a players only meeting. It's like, okay, what are we going to talk about? You know, you try to fix a lot of things. I mean, it seems like to me, you know, when you have these, you have a lot of issues going on. That's the only real reason to have a players-only meeting. Like, hey, guys need to be more focused in meetings. Guys need to practice harder, right? We're going to start holding guys more accountable. Things like that. Things got to be really bad for a players-only meeting. Or else, why would you call a players-only meeting?
It seems like rah-rah stuff to me.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. Usually what it is.
Like you're trying to rally the troops, right? You're trying to rally the troops. That's what, you know, Chris Harris said. You got to rally the troops. And that's what it seems like. Because you're not going to say, hey, you know, in the meeting, hey, this is where you're supposed to be. You got to be here. It's like, hey, no, we need to get together. We need to stick together. We need to figure this thing out. But the kicker is, if Bradley Roby didn't show up to work yesterday, Roby's not in this meeting.
That's correct.
Which just,
unless they, yeah, I mean, I'm sure he probably wasn't in there. I mean, to me, it tells me that there's a lot of underlying issues with this football team, and they're playing like it here as of late.
So when Derek Wolfe says there's something deeper going on, the day before you have a players-only meeting, it does sound like there's something deeper going on. And then you got a guy who you're relying on. You're relying on Bradley Roby. If he has a terrible year and he continues to play like he played on Sunday, then it's the secondary is going to be what the secondary's been. So the fact that he's not at work, you got a players only meeting, he's not there, it highlights again, and I cannot believe this is falling out of my mouth, but it's another example that feels like 2017 dysfunction.
Yeah, and you know, maybe they're trying to correct whatever issues they have right now. And before it accumulates and gets worse, maybe there's a few things that they need to correct and they need to address. And the captains of the football team, you know what, they call this meeting and we're going to address these things right now. We're going to get out in front of it. We're going to fix it. And we're going to move forward. And hopefully it helps. But, I mean, I look at 2 weeks ago, they played a good football game.
They did.
So it's not like it's been a complete disaster here the last 3 weeks. You know, you look at the Oakland Raiders game, they didn't play good football, especially offensively. They found a way to win the football game. You look at the Ravens game, that's kind of the start of the downfall. A lot of bad football there. Just a lot of bad football. And then you piggyback that with the Kansas City Chiefs game. They played a really, really outstanding game for three quarters and change.
That might have been that's their best football game they played this year.
Oh, 1,000%. Until, you know, the last, 8, 9, 10 minutes of the game, whatever it was, when that, you know, was a complete disaster. Touchdown, three and out, touchdown, and then opportunity to win it in the end, and you just couldn't take advantage of that opportunity. So you look at where they were just a week ago and how well they played, and then the game against the Jets and how far, what they looked like in that game and where they kind of went from playing the Kansas City Chiefs to playing the New York Jets and how much of a step back that was for this football team. I think a players-only meeting could help this team, and hopefully it does in this situation. When you need to get out in front of things, you need to address things. Whatever wasn't done the week of the Jets game, because they came out and they played a football game that they didn't seem like they were very interested in. You know, and I said yesterday I wanted to, you know, because I looked at some plays in that game and I went back last night and I looked at some more and I wasn't sure if they were giving full effort. And I take that back. I did see full effort. But the execution just wasn't there. So it wasn't like they were checked out and they weren't giving great effort. They were. So that wasn't the case, but it was just the execution out there. And
which is just as important as the effort aspect, because you can't have one without the other.
Well, I mean, you can always give great effort, and sometimes you just don't execute.
Well, but the effort should be your baseline.
That should be it. Right. And so, you know, yesterday I wasn't quite sure, you know, and I called them out defensively. But I went back and I looked and re-examined those plays, and they did give great effort. They just didn't execute. They didn't get guys to the ground. And so do you need a players-only meeting in this situation? We don't know what's going on behind closed doors. Hopefully it's a good thing. Hopefully they're able to look at themselves and be very critical with why they played the way that they played, and it won't happen again.
Big Rich on the RamosLaw.com text line says,
Big Rich.
The Jets had a players-only meeting on Sunday. It was in the end zone.
Oh.
Zing.
Having the time of his life.
Is it time to throw in the towel on the rest of the top picks of 2017? Interesting conversation. We'll have it next. Is it time to throw in the towel on the rest of the top picks of 2017? Stoke already cut Brandon Langley. Carlos Henderson, take care.
Bye.
Isaiah McKenzie, don't let the door hit you. DeMarcus Walker continues to be in a wind suit. Every step.
I like those. You don't like when I wear those pants. I was about to wear those today, too. Right. I'm wearing them tomorrow.
It's like an alarm for where you're at.
Yeah. Love them.
And that brings
nothing wrong with the wind suit. You just don't want it when you play football.
Suit? The wind suit? So you go on tops and bottoms?
No, just bottom. Just
okay.
Bottom.
All right. I can live with that.
Okay.
I can live with that. That brings us to Garrett Bowles.
Now, you used to put that thing on, though, back in the day with the top two.
Oh, ooh, yeah. Like a half zipper.
Man, no, make that full zipper.
Oh, full zip.
Yeah, full zip.
I actually used to really like wearing those when I was younger.
Oh, man.
Like basketball pregame stuff.
Oh, love it.
Swishy. Garrett Bowles, Stoke. Check out Alfred Williams' comments.
Uh-oh. What is he saying now?
On the former first-round draft pick.
We got to get rid of Bowles. We got to get rid of Bowles. We can't do it. We cannot do this every single week. You know you just can't do certain things when you play tackle. Like, you can't grab a guy, grab him by his inside, and yank him down. Every NFL referee is going to call that. D-Mac, he's done it another week.
He's going to be the Sylvester Williams. He's going to play for 4 years.
No, he's not going to play for 4 years. He's the, you know, Eric Flowers, the number 9 draft pick by the New York Giants, is about to be released today.
Oh, you think they're going to get rid of Garrett Bowles?
You know what?
Really?
There are some people who just keep on making habitual mistakes that you can't trust to play.
Dang.
He's a habitual offender.
So you say cut Garrett Bowles.
After this season, you got to let him walk.
Wow.
That's extreme.
Oh, wow. That is extreme. Look, it hadn't been perfect. Okay, we would like to sit here and say Bowles is improving a lot from year one to year two, and that's not really the case. But let me tell you, what is our alternative? Okay, there's not many guys walking the streets that the Broncos are going to be able to scoop up and all of a sudden solidify the left side of this line.
What if you have one on your own roster? Jared Valdir. Pop him over to left tackle, Billy Turner.
I'm sure everything's on the table when it comes to this offensive line and it comes to improving the left tackle spot. Look, Bowles hadn't been perfect, but he's not the only problem out there, and he has made mistakes. Okay, but I'm not ready to say we're just done with this guy. There's no chance that they cut him. There is no chance that they cut him after the season. Okay, this is a guy that we also have to remember only played 1 year of college football. Okay? And he played last year, and it was okay. I was hoping to see a bigger jump and a bigger leap and a much better Garrett Bowles this year, and that just really hadn't been the case. He's making some of the same mistakes, but that doesn't mean that all of a sudden you just cut your 20th pick overall from, if you do it after this 2 years ago. It hasn't been perfect, but it's... there could be worse. So that's what I'm saying in this situation. It could be worse.
This is Mark Schlereth on the former first-round draft pick.
The guy makes the same mistakes that he made as a rookie. He's led the league in holding calls last year. He probably leads the league in holding calls right now as we currently stand. There are another 4 holding calls a game he should get. I think the refs almost feel sorry for him. It is time to move on. You cannot tell me every week, week in and week out, that this is a meritocracy and we're going to play the best players and blah, 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 blah. And you're going to continue to shuttle that guy out there that doesn't know what he's doing and has not made the requisite improvements in his game to earn the job.
So Stink is...
Well, everything's not earned in the NFL. Go ahead.
No,
that's just the way it is. So, Stink knows that. You're the 20th overall pick. You don't have to earn a spot. A spot's going to be given to you for a certain amount of time. And then, if you don't get the job done, you're replaced.
You know, Stink said in there, in the front portion of that, something that you just said previously, that you're expecting to see a certain jump from year one to year two, right? Your former coach, Tony Dungy, said that's where you're going to make your biggest improvement, year one to year two. The fact... how discouraging is it that it almost looks the same or worse at points? Like, I don't, and you're right, it's not going to be perfect, but how discouraging is it that you're not seeing really much growth at all?
It is, a little bit, but I'm not ready to give up on the guy.
Do you sit him down at any point? Because I also heard Stink say that in the morning.
That might not be
to the extreme of right. Alfred, but you need to sit down a little bit. Football rehab.
That might be the situation that you find yourself in with him. But there is some good with Garrett Bowles. Let's not just think he's out there, giving up 5 sacks to Khalil Mack. Do we remember that?
Donald Stevenson?
Michael Schofield.
Oh, Michael Schofield. Right.
Could have been Donald, but it was Michael. I think it was Michael. Was it Michael or Tyson?
Yeah. No. It was Michael Schofield.
All right. Just making sure there. Don't want to call out the wrong person on the 5-sack game.
It was Michael Schofield.
So, look, it hasn't been all awful. And we had a big O-win, I think, last week, and he talked about, like, Garrett Bowles does a lot of good things. But he has those four, five, six, seven plays or whatever in a game that really cost you. And then you can't live with. And I know the guy's an older player right now. He was old when we drafted him as a rookie. But we got to realize he hasn't played a lot of football.
Like his football age is different than his.
Right. He hasn't like played years. A lot of football. He right. just hasn't. And so I'm going to stick up for him a little bit and realize that you did draft him in the first round, number 20 overall. And you don't just give up on him after a year when he hasn't. When he doesn't have a lot of experience. And now maybe you do sit him for a week or two. Maybe you do try Jerry Valdir. Oh, by the way, Jerry Valdir's hurt. So what are your options here? Okay.
Hopefully coming back.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
But what are your options? I mean, you're going to take an old Jerry Valdir that can't stay healthy, and you're going to throw him on the left side? Elijah Wilkinson? You want to put him over there? Well, you might get that opportunity to look at Elijah this week. So we'll see how it plays out. I'm just saying that it could be a lot worse than what we've been watching with Garrett Bowles. There's penalties out there that you just can't live with. You know, he's sloppy with his technique sometimes, and that's why he gets a holding call. And other times, he's just, I don't know if it's sloppy technique or just lazy, but you can't grab a guy and take your right arm and slam him on the back and then jump on top of him and throw your arms out like, nothing to see here. You know, it's like that FBI agent that did the backflip, boom, grabbed the gun, shot somebody. Like, oh, no, that wasn't me. I got to go. Like, it was seriously. You know, you're drawing more attention to yourself, Garrett.
I love that analogy, too, because that FBI guy, his reaction
yeah, was like, whoa,
to that
whoa,
was
whoa,
just
whoa, whoa.
So classic.
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't me.
No,
was
nothing happened.
Just
thing
coincidental.
Just kinda, did it really fire? Didn't fire? Did it?
Oh, you got hit?
Oh. Got to go.
My boss.
Look, I understand the criticism of Garrett Bowles, okay? I do. But I also say, well, who are we going to replace him with? Are we going to go out in free agency next year and be able to pay Nate Solder? No, we're not. Not going to be able to pay a guy that much money. So you're not going to be able to get a top-tier left tackle. You got to draft him. You got to try to develop him. Or you got to go out there and find a veteran player that can come in and hold the fort down for a couple years and hopefully he stays healthy. So those are really your options. And do you give up on Garrett Bowles after a year and change in football games at left tackle? I don't think you do. He was a first-round pick. His leash is bigger. I mean, it's not a, you know, meritocracy. Look, a lot depends on how much money you make and where you're drafted.
To a point, right.
So he's going to get more opportunities. They're not just going to pull him out because he has one bad game or he has a couple holding calls. So it's just not going to happen. What are your, who are you going to put in his place? That's what I say. If you want to pull him out right now, what are we going to do? We don't have better options. Because I guarantee you if they did, people's jobs are on the line. They would pull his butt out and they would put in Elijah Wilkinson or whoever, Billy Turner. I mean, look, this coaching staff wants to win. They need to win. So I look at the alternative options behind Garrett Bowles. There's not many. And then to cut him at the end of the season when you're paying him all this money is still guaranteed. I mean, that doesn't make sense. You keep him at least as your backup. I mean, Eric Flowers with the Giants, yeah, he was a complete disaster. Garrett Bowles is 100 times better than Eric Flowers.
And that is, I'm glad you said that because there is, and I've already seen it, a thought out there that, hey, maybe you can try to, you know, like you buy a old car and you try to refurbish it, that you could try to take a flyer on Eric Flowers. At one point in time when he was coming out of Miami, he was a ninth overall pick. That was like 2015. Wasn't a long time ago. There's a thought out there that, hey, let's try to take a peek at Eric Flowers and see if we can refurbish, see if we can rehab his football identity to make him a competent guy, because at one point in time, he was extremely highly thought of. He was a top 10 pick, but those who have critically watched the New York Giants know how bad Eric Flowers.
Look, they need offensive line help there, right? So go ahead.
No, I just want to piggyback on you said he's been a disaster. Whatever the adjective beyond disaster would be, that's what Eric Flowers was at left tackle for the New York Giants. He was a turnstile.
And the other thing, just to piggyback real quick, was you heard a lot of rumblings from his teammates. And that's what concerns me. You know, is he a good locker room guy? Is he a good teammate? Does he love football? Because somebody will take a flyer on him. I mean, there's no question about that. And you've seen guys that have performed worse in one city go to another city and things turn out better for them. So that's maybe true. A change of scenery. Look, right now for the Denver Broncos, everything's on the table. You know, you obviously look at a guy like this, and so will 31 other teams. He was a 9th overall pick for a reason. A lot of potential there. So I think you look at everything. I mean, does it make sense here? I don't know. Probably not.
Well, in terms of switching teams, going to another city and bettering yourself, we just talked about Schofield. Didn't Schofield play for the Chargers last year?
He did.
On the right side and had Vaughn in one-on-one situations a handful of times in that game, and Vaughn was unable to get the best of Michael Schofield. And in the previous year, he's given up 6 sacks to Khalil Mack.
Yeah, so it happens all the time when it comes to change of scenery, change of environment, change of scheme. Change of coaching. All those things can help a player all of a sudden maybe not live up to that number 9 overall pick, but come in and be a good football player. Look at Billy Turner. Miami gave up on him and traded him here a couple years ago. Now the guy's a solid backup that plays good football. So it happens a lot. So you obviously need to explore a guy like Eric Flowers. Probably doesn't make sense here in this situation, but you need depth.
Speaking of exploring outside your own room, how about our guy? Our guy, Jamaal Charles, just signed with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Love it. Good for him.
Good for them, man. Yeah. And good for him.
Yes. Yeah, I don't care less about good for them. Good for him.
Good for him. That's what I meant.
Yeah. Good for you, bud.
Good for you, bud.
Awesome.
Letter from that's got a hammy.
Yeah,
and then,
love Jamaal Charles. So glad he's getting another opportunity. I think that's a great opportunity for him, and I can't wait to watch him. So this Sunday, I'm going to be tuning into the Jaguars because I want to see Jamaal Charles. Big fan of his.
You speak for us both. Yeah, I want to go see him wreck.
Right.
I want to go see
If he does,
exactly.
You better hold me back.
I will not because I know what's coming at 2:30. Stoked up. You know, I mean, really, because that was, and again, don't want to reach too much back in the past, but that was one of our major grievances with 2017, that, you know, the handling or lack thereof of Jamaal Charles, despite having the highest yards per carry mark on the football team, just unbelievable. The dude showed juice.
Yeah, I was hoping he would get another opportunity. Really, really hoping that he would get one, and here we are. He's gonna be with the Jaguars, and
good situation for him.
Really good situation. They'll give him opportunities. They're looking for somebody, and if he does well, that could be a really good role for him. That 1-2 combo of Leonard Fournette and Jamaal Charles.
Can't wait to watch
Jacksonville this week.
That could be fun. And the Jags this week have the Cowboys in Dallas.
Nice.
So that'll be fun.
You know, going back to bowls, but that's great news for Jamaal. We're big fans of his. But going back to bowls, I mean, look, and fans get caught up, but you got to look at, you know, contract situation and that first round money is guaranteed for 4 years. It's all guaranteed. He's getting paid all of it. So you don't just walk away and just cut him at the end of the year. Eric Flowers, yeah, he's getting cut, but his teammates never seem like they like him. Garrett Bowles' teammates love him. Okay, and I'm not saying he needs to be the starter, but you got to give him more than 1 year and a few games before you just say we need to replace him because he's had some issues. You got to let him try to learn and improve and go out there and play football. It hasn't all been awful. He's had a lot of holding penalties, and you know I'm sitting here sticking up for him because like you can't just wash your hands of all these guys if they're not playing well. You just can't. You got to try to give him some time to develop and get better. And then at a certain point, if he's not getting the job done, hopefully you got a replacement. But if you don't have a replacement, then you just go with what you have.
You know, part of the other conversation or a part of this conversation with Garrett Bowles is that, you know, you highlighted it. You said Garrett Bowles hadn't played a lot of football at a high level. He played, you know, he was at Snow Community College 3 years ago, like from right now. from right now, 3 years ago, he was at Snow Community College. He does 1 year at Utah, and then he's with the Denver Broncos. I mean, it happened quick, but part of the issue is, and I don't think it's the end-all, be-all. I don't think it's the end-all, be-all, but his football age, and I used the term dog years because, you know, dog years don't line up with human years, and his football age is different, and it doesn't line up with his actual age. You know, and I don't think, again, I don't think it's the end-all, be-all because he's still, for all rights and purposes, a young guy. But at the same time, it's not like he's, you know, 23 years old and you knew he was a project. You drafted him at 25 years old because you were hoping that he was a plug-and-play guy. And now he's 26 and he's in his sophomore season and he's not showing those signs of development, and it's discouraging. Because again, if you're 23, which is at the age, or maybe even 22 of most of the second year players in the NFL right now, you can sort of maybe see have more of a curve.
Well, that's on them for drafting him. Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously you thought it was not going to just happen overnight because of his inexperience. I mean, did you just think he was going to just drop on the field and start at left tackle and it'd be great? You knew his age. You knew he was an older player. You knew he didn't have a lot of experience. And you had your pick of him, Ramczyk, and Cam Robinson, and you took him. So, you know, that's on the Broncos for drafting the wrong guy, for totally whiffing on the wrong guy, on Garrett Bowles. But at some point, you got to let him stay out there and try to figure it out. You don't just throw first-round picks away. You don't just let him play a year and a couple games and say, oh, you're playing left tackle, we're done with you. You don't do that, and they're not going to do that. You don't have an alternative anyway. Who are you going to put out there? Nobody. So it's Garrett Bowles. He's just got to get better. You keep your fingers crossed. You help him out in certain situations. Chip, whatever. We see Von Miller getting chipped all the time. Why can't we help our tackles out then?
Good question.
Great question. So, but just to say we're done with Bowles, let's move on. I mean, that's very easy, but that's not the way organizations operate. And you can't operate like that. There's no chance that they do that. And it hasn't been awful. It hasn't been awful.
Give him a grade.
As much as people want to say that, you know what, he stinks and he's awful, it hasn't been awful, okay? I've seen a lot worse play at left tackle than Garrett Bowles.
Same. Okay? Eric Flowers.
There you go. There's a ton of guys out there. So you want me to give him a grade? I'll give him a C-. Okay, there's a lot of good things, and there's some bad things. He's got to get rid of the holding calls. And, you know, we had Big O last week, like I said earlier, and he talks about, hey, just technique stuff. Get back to your technique. So, and I think that will cure a lot of things. Because, you know, people get the edge on him and he panics.
Yeah.
And then there comes the, you know, the jump on the back of him. Throw him down on the ground and jump on the back of him. That's when it happens. Just poor technique. You know, you don't see Garrett Bowles getting trucked a lot. Do you?
Not really.
Okay,
no.
Okay, good.
No.
Just making sure.
No.
Right, I mean, but he gets run around.
From time to time.
He grabs and he holds and he gets you untimely penalties. But he is a young player. And, yeah, I'm going to stick up for him a little bit because he hasn't played a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, in some situations, coaches got to help him out a little bit. And hopefully he gets better. We'll see how, you know, it turns out, obviously, for Bowles the rest of the season. But just as, you know, he's had bad plays. But, the narrative shouldn't be that he's just an awful football player. He needs to be better. He needs to play better. That is a given. I am on page with Slareth and Big Al about he needs to get better. He needs to improve. But, man, just to say that we're done with him, let's move on. Well, what are your alternative options?
Well, you mentioned the technique is the issue. And Orlando talked to us about that. If technique is his fundamental issue, because he's a good athlete. It's part of the reason why he went at 20. He's a really good,
really good athlete.
Okay. But if technique is the fundamental problem, my mind, once again, goes to who's coaching him up? Who's coaching him up? And is he receptive? Is he coachable? You know, and those are two totally different questions.
And I don't think that's an issue. Is he coachable?
I mean, you see him out there, you know, his rookie season and during training camp. I mean, he's talking with Von Miller, and he's always working on his technique.
He is.
I mean,
you see him on the side, even in this training camp. He's on the side trying to get his feet right, get his hands right.
Always working on his technique. So it's not work ethic like it was with Paxton Lynch. It's not that he doesn't care. He does care. So all those things he has checked off the box. Like, he works. He wants to get better. It means a lot to him. So that goes a long way for me. I mean, it's not the end-all, be-all. You got to go out there and get the job done. But at least you know this guy wants it, and he's working on his craft. He's not, you know, packing it in right after work and going home and, you know, who cares? I don't care. Whatever. You know, I stink. No, he's putting the work in. He is. And you're right. You know, coaching, they changed up the coaching this year. Now we got a tackle coach.
He's got his own tutor.
He does. And, you know they did that type of move. You got a guard center coach, you got a tackle coach. They did that type of move to help a guy like Garrett Bowles out.
I don't see the dividends yet.
No, I don't either. I don't either. You were hoping, and I was hoping, and all offseason, I was expecting. This is what I was expecting to see, that jump that Tony Dungy talked about from year one to year two. That's the biggest jump you'll have in your career. So maybe for Garrett Bowles, it's year two to year three, hopefully.
At 27. I hope so. I hope so because
he's more mature.
Yeah, I hope so because the prospect of another first round draft pick not working out is absolutely horrifying.
Yep, and you know, when you talk about the issues that we've had with offensive line the last handful of years, you're hoping that pick at left tackle could solidify the line moving forward, and we wouldn't have to worry about left tackle, you know, for the foreseeable future. And if it doesn't work out, man, you're in this cycle again. And it's not a fun cycle to be in.
No, it's not.
Got to give a big shout out to my guy, Scott from Uber Eats. Hitting me up. Appreciate you, buddy.
And I want to give another Scott out, a shout out to
Scott out.
A Scott out. A big to Scott out. To Postman Mike that I met in the elevator. Who had
Mike.
His earbuds in, and he's dropping mail off. And I accidentally went to the basement. I didn't realize the elevator was going downstairs. And he was down there. He goes, "Yeah, I listen to you guys every day." And so big shout out to him.
Awesome.
And I got another, even the biggest shout out I could ever give anyone a little bit later, because.
Oh, another shout out.
I got a story to tell that was just absolutely horrific. Of what happened to me on Sunday.
Oh, yes, I can't wait. I mean, you're boo-hooing when you text me and stuff. I'm like, come on, Zach. I got two kids of my own. I can't take care of you, too. Can't oh wait for goodness. This thing. I'm telling you, it's a great story. Unbelievable.
You know what? It's been a rough couple 48 hours for us. We need some good news. I got some major hope that could be coming to Broncos country, and I'll tell you what it is as soon as we come back.
Does your business make a positive impact on its community, customers, or employees? First Bank invites you to submit a 2-minute video explaining how you and your business do good for a chance to win $20,000 in a marketing campaign courtesy of First Bank. Doing good can be donating proceeds to charity, being environmentally sustainable, providing gym memberships for your employees, and so much more. If this describes your business, submit your video by October 24th. First Bank. Business banking for good. Rules and restrictions apply. Member FDIC. Visit eFirstBank.com/business contest for more details.